round pick in this year's draft. Waddle has 2 years and $41 million remaining on his contract. The Philadelphia Eagles have signed free agent wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown to a one-year deal. The Texans and free agent guard Wyatt Teller agreed to terms on a two-year deal, while the New Orleans Saints signed running back Ty Chandler. Duke freshman Cameron Boozer was a unanimous first-team All-American selection by the Associated Press. Fellow freshman A.J. DeBonta of BYU and Darius Acuff Jr. of Arkansas were also first-team members. First four games tonight in Dayton include UMBC against Howard, followed by Texas and NC State. World Baseball Classic Final, U.S. and Venezuela. You'll see it tonight on Fox.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, over 2 million landowners rented out 348 million acres of farmland, according to the results of the 2024 total survey from the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. Of those acres, 79% are owned by non-farming landlords. Non-operating landlords include entities who rent out agricultural land under a variety of ownership arrangements. Of the land they rented out, over 251 million acres were rented out by private landowners, trusts, or family entities. Ending stocks for corn, soybeans, and wheat were left unchanged in the March WASDE report, with some analysts calling it a non-event. The 2025-26 U.S. corn outlook saw the season average corn price unchanged at $4.10 a bushel. The biggest change was in the global coarse grain production, which was forecast to be 2.7 million tons higher at 1.593 billion. There were also no changes for the U.S. wheat supply and use categories. Well, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers monthly flash reports saw the sales of all tractors during February in the U.S. were down 12% from the same month last year. A total of 9,084 tractors were sold, which compares to 11,167 during February of 2025. Combine sales in February totaled 159, down 13%. And for the year, tractor sales were down 9%, while combine sales were up 15%.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are trying to hold on to gains in afternoon trading as investors monitor the latest developments in the Middle East and as oil prices continue to rise. Brent crude, the international benchmark, is hovering at around $102 a barrel, while U.S. crude is around $95. Energy and financials are gaining while healthcare and industrials are lagging. And Uber shares are rising nearly 6% after AI darling Nvidia announced during its developers conference on Monday that it was expanding its partnership with the ride-hailing company. company. Shares of Honeywell are dropping 2% after the industrial giant said that the conflict in the Middle East could impact its first quarter revenue. And pending home sales rose unexpectedly in February, increasing 1.8% and rebounding from a record low in January, according to the National Association of Realtors. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
In order to leave the Soviet Union, a Soviet citizen must have 900 Russian rubles for a visa and more courage than is normally allotted to humankind. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Russian law and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights fully entitle a citizen of the Soviet Union to an exit visa, meaning permission to leave there and live in another country. As a matter of fact, that Helsinki Pact they talked us into signing contains their pledge to let people live where they want to. Like yesterday's newspaper, the Helsinki Pact should be used for wrapping garbage. Literally thousands of Soviet citizens are in concentration camps for trying to obtain an exit visa. For other thousands, the price for seeking a visa is automatic dismissal from their jobs. One of the latter is Ida Nubel, born in Russia in 1931. She is Jewish. In a letter to a Soviet official, she wrote, "I was born and raised here. I am part of this land. But I am also part of another land as well, a land that is the dream of my people." Ida Nubel wants to go to Israel, wants to be a part of making the ancient prophecies of her religion come true. When she first applied for a visa in 1971, she was fired from her job in Moscow's Institute of Planning and Production. The excuse for not granting her a visa was that she is privy to state secrets. Ida Nubel's job was studying the standards of hygiene in food shops and the control of infection in various foods. She says, "The greatest secrets I had access to were where rats and mice build their nests." For 5 years, she's been without a job. In January 1975, she married Yul Brynd, who had obtained an exit visa before he met Ida. He was forced to leave Russia without her, and now lives in Israel. She is constantly watched, followed, and arrested for no reason whatsoever. In one 15-day period, she was arrested 5 times. In Moscow, arrests of this kind aren't what you see in Kojak on TV. Over the years, she has been forcibly seized, thrown into dark basement rooms, often disrobed and beaten on the pretense of a weapon search, left for days without food, lying on a vermin-infested floor. Ida Nubel is 45 years of age and has a history of heart trouble, but her medical card has been stamped alcoholic, which she is not. In the Soviet Union, that is standard practice for anyone they might want to bury in a mental institution. You'd think her own troubles would be all she had time for. But then we don't know this frail little 45-year-old lady. She is fondly referred to as the little angel by those imprisoned in labor camps. She sends them soup cubes, vitamins, medicines, and letters to boost them physically and spiritually. One prisoner after his release said, "There is no woman on earth whom we value more." She has written countless letters to Brezhnev and other leaders of the workers' paradise, not in her own behalf, but begging for the freedom of others and their right to leave Russia. Why don't we write some letters in behalf of Ida Nubel to the Soviet ambassador, the Soviet embassy, Washington, D.C.? It might worry him a little about detente to know how we feel. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 1230. The bear is back in the saddle. It's time for protecting what matters. And by the way, happy St. Patrick's Day. We're all Irish on St. Patrick's Day. So welcome back to PWM. It's the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We have great guests today, and it's all about energy and water, actually, on today's show from 1230 to 1. I'm pleased to have for the first time, and we'll have her back again. I can tell you that always, Nicole Dorfman, who's the co-founder and board member of the REACT Alliance. We're going to learn about the grassroots education and advocacy to stop offshore wind energy and development, unresolved concerns pertaining to proposed Central Coast offshore wind projects, and most importantly, we're going to learn about where all of our local politicians stand on this horrible idea of putting wind off our coast. Nicole, windmills off our coast. Nicole, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you so much, Barry.
So, and from 1 to 2 o'clock, we have our old friend, Edward Ring, who's the Director of Water and Energy for the California Policy Center. We're going to talk about overstated drought conditions in California, which have led to mismatched policy choices, what it would take to build an abundant water coalition in California, and energy security and why California burdens its residents with taxes and shortages, despite what Gavin Newsom tells us. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. And you can also text your questions to us at that same number. So, Nicole, again, welcome. And give us an idea. You know, I think in many regards, I mean, we've talked about the wind projects, proposed wind projects off the coast. And the REACT Alliance is a great grassroots organization that has been fighting this for quite some time. Tell us a little bit about your background and your board's background and what this group is all about.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to do that. REACT Alliance formed, I believe, about 3 years ago, so we're relatively new. We have been up and down the coast educating the people who live here about these projects, because for the most part, nobody really knew what was being planned. And in fact, we were being told, oh, it's not going to happen for a really long time, so you don't have to worry about it. But then alternatively, we were told, well, this is a done deal, so you don't have to worry about it. So we're told both things. But I'm very fortunate to be a part of a wonderful board. My own background is I have a master's degree in social work. And I think, you know, the education, the outreach, advocacy, I feel I have good communication skills and just love to talk with people and engage with them. But thankfully, we have people on our board who really cover the range of all the knowledge and skills that we need. For example, our board president, Mandy Davis, is a long-term naturalist, environmentalist. She understands the marine environment like nothing else. She's been giving, you know, in her most recent iteration, been giving tours of the Morro Bay Estuary and up and down the coast. She's very, very familiar and very passionate. She was on the Sea Shepherd. I mean, her environmental activism goes back decades. And when she saw what was happening, she got us all together. I'm very thankful for our vice president, who's Saro Rizzo. He's also our attorney out of Avila Beach, and has litigated successfully environmental issues before. We also have, for example, Sherry Hafer, who is very, very familiar with the fishing industry and how they are impacted, and also the marine animals and fish. Her husband was the president of the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Association for, I believe, over a decade.
Wow.
And then we also have a couple people on the board who are very knowledgeable about government workings, which is so important.
Yeah.
People who have worked, you know, as city managers, port, harbor directors, so understand how all the government aspects work.
And you're really, I mean, this is a single issue organization, isn't it?
Correct.
So you're kind of able to cut across all the political stuff that seems to occur so many times in local politics and advocacy, right?
Yes, we've been very clear. We're staying in our lane, which is offshore wind. Mm-hmm. We have been asked numerous times to take a position, let's say, on nuclear energy or on other kinds of energy, and we just say, hey, React Alliance, we're not going to comment on that. One thing we have done, people have asked us about offshore drilling, and so we have been able to say that we are against any sort of ocean industrialization.
Mm-hmm. Great. So let's talk a little bit for our audience that hasn't heard Edward talk about this topic, and John Pishong is a big opponent of this. You got a great website, folks. I recommend you go to reactalliance.org. It's really a great website. Now I'm looking at the page here that talks about unknowns and challenges. And the first is the location and the technology uncertainties. Could you unpack some of those, please?
Certainly. Well, what's being proposed is really the first of its kind. It would be floating offshore wind turbines. So people hear about what's going on in the East Coast and Europe, and those are really fixed bottom. They're in much shallower water. So the main technical, or one of the big technical challenges, is these turbines are proposed to be about 1,000 feet tall. So if anybody's familiar with the Morro Bay stacks, that's twice the size. They're so large, so tall, they would need a floating base about the size of a football field. So these are enormous, like a 70-story building.
And how many of these are they planning out there?
They're planning. The first stage would be approximately 360 of these, and then it would expand well beyond that.
And this is like 20 miles off the coast, theoretically.
Correct. This is about, so it's in federal waters, about 20 miles off the coast. So you can imagine, I think, approximately 350 square miles of these turbines in essential fish habitat. This is some of the most productive marine environment off our coast, potentially even in the world. So there needs to be, you know, these massive structures, but then you also need to get, of course, the energy from the turbines to land.
Right.
So one of the things that hasn't been figured out yet, as far as I understand, is cables.
Right.
And since it's so deep, they can't bury the cables, as has been done everywhere else. They actually need to be floating cables, and which means they need to be very flexible. Because as we know, the ocean can get very turbulent, very stormy. We don't want cables breaking, you know, coming apart. So this technology does not even exist yet.
Well, I'm looking at your website. Each turbine requires over 3 miles of mooring lines. What is a mooring line? That keeps the platform in place?
Correct. They're like anchors, if you will.
And those kind of just float around, which has got to be a menace to large sea life, right?
Right. Well, not, they don't, they're very heavy, actually. The links of the mooring chain are about as big as a car.
Mm-hmm.
They're enormous. They're very heavy. So, and they have to be three times the length of the seabed, which is 3,000 feet.
Right.
Because when there's the pitch, when there's big waves,
right,
they need to be able to expand enough. So when the sea is more quiet, those huge chains are going to be scouring the ocean bottom.
And then, of course, yeah, and yeah, it's interesting. I'm reading a history of the American Revolution, and there's a whole section about how, you know, the Americans tried to put these chains across the Hudson River to stop the British. And I mean, again, I mean, they were trying it then. I mean, they're still doing it now, I guess, right, with different purpose. And then, of course, it's not just the stuff out in the ocean. It's the stuff that's going to be have to put, be placed on land. And what kind of infrastructure are they going to need to support this on the coast?
Oh, well, that's a great question, and that's what we're dealing with right now. So in order to have these turbines, there's a lot of support that needs to happen landside. There needs to be three different kinds of ports: manufacturing ports, staging and integration ports, and then operations and maintenance ports. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about the Central Coast, what we're looking at is the operations and maintenance, which are the smallest of the three. But smallest doesn't mean small. Mm-hmm. In our area, Port San Luis and Morro Bay are the two areas that are being considered for industrial operations and maintenance ports to serve the offshore wind energy.
And then, of course, there has to be even more infrastructure to attach all this theoretical power when the wind's blowing, right?
Right.
To the grid.
Yes.
And that has that been planned out
no,
yet?
No. Well, that just doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah. So it would.
They can't just plug it into the Diablo Canyon and send it out into the grid, huh?
Absolutely not. And in fact, they did want an industrial port at Diablo Canyon, and they said, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. That is not going to happen, because it would have been easy to plug into the grid.
And so obviously, money is being spent on this, mostly going to consultants.
Yes.
This is a recurring theme, the consultancy industrial complex.
Yes.
That takes our tax dollars on these endless projects like Trains to Nowhere, mm-hmm. and water projects, which Edward will talk about on the next, you know, after the hour. And the only people making money on this are the politicians, because of all the contributions they're getting, mm-hmm. and the consultants at this point.
Yes, I think that's an excellent point. And, you know, one case in point, Port San Luis, in fact, had a developer, a consultant, we'll say, named Clean Energy Terminals. They were given a $3 million grant from the California Energy Commission to, you know, plan for this, mm-hmm. to do all their studies and whatnot. And it turns out that there was such an outcry from the community that the Port San Luis Harbor Commission had to say, hey, we're going to pause this, which immediately caused this Clean Energy Terminals to back out. Mm-hmm. They were going to get almost $2 million of that $3 million for their consultants and their studies and whatever it was. And in looking at the documents, and we did a public records request to learn about all the communications, it was guaranteed that they would make their money back. Anything that they put out, they would have been wanted to have a guarantee that they would make it back.
Wow. So, you know, God, I just, and of course, where I know the fishing industry is against this. Do they have much of a lobbying effort? You know, because again, I mean, we got a pretty big fishing industry here on the coast.
We do. And this would decimate it. The fishing community is already under so much pressure and restriction upon restriction. In fact, the fishermen's associations in Morro Bay and Port San Luis currently have lawsuits, mm-hmm. Against the California Coastal Commission for what they see as improper permitting, and against, I believe, different state agencies, the State Lands and Waters, who also permitted, as well as some of the offshore wind companies, because I know, for one, they started doing site surveys without the guidelines that were promised, that the fishermen were a part of. And interestingly enough, they just came out with, I'm forgetting what agency it was, the Coastal Commission, was called the Seven Seas Working Group, which would have been the fishermen, and how do we mitigate this? And basically, their guidelines are that, well, the offshore wind corporations know what's best. They get to set the guidelines. They're going to determine if there's any violations. And we have all these nice things that we want them to do, but if they don't do it, there's nothing binding.
Right.
So the fishermen are saying, well, wait, if we even drift in, you know, 1 foot into an off-limits area, we're fined significantly. Mm-hmm. But these offshore wind companies, it's not binding.
Yeah, and I think the item that really bothers, one of the items that bothers me the most, is these wind turbines are an environmental disaster. I mean, they leak all kinds of horrible stuff, sulfur hexafluoride, into the water, and the actual turbines, they're made of some metal alloy that is not biodegradable. I mean, they fail all the time.
Yes.
So I'm always amazed when I drive up through the mountains, through Tehachapi, all the wind turbines up there that aren't even working.
Right, half of them are working.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah,
if you're lucky, it's what a wasteful project
it is. And you can imagine in the marine environment, mm-hmm. which is much more hostile than you know on land, how quickly they would degrade.
So I know the Trump administration has kind of put a stop on this at some level. So let's talk about how that's impacting the picture.
Yes. So the Trump administration, I think on day one, put a moratorium on permitting offshore wind in federal waters. Mm-hmm. So California, our group was very grateful for that. These sites are in federal waters, so they are directly impacted. There can be no more permits to do any sort of development, any site surveys, anything. So that shut that down completely.
Okay.
But what is not shut down, California hasn't rethought it and thought, maybe we need to move away from this. They're actually doubling down. And what they're doing is now they're throwing money at the ports, which we were just talking about, so that, you know, hopefully, if they get a friendly administration in 2028, they'll say, hey, look, we're ready to go. We've got our ports done. We've got all our funding in place. We're working on our infrastructure corridor. So we're ready to go.
And you mentioned before we went on air that there's actually a demonstration project happening out near Vandenberg. And tell us about that.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a little known project that most people don't know about.
Well, they know now.
It's called Catamo.
Catamo, huh?
Catamo, California Development. I don't know what the MO stands for. But they just received $4 million from the state to do this demonstration. It's going to cost way more than $4
million.
This
is from the state that is in running an $18 billion deficit.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay, giving it to a private company. Mm-hmm. In order to get this money, they had to make maybe a 2-page report. Mm-hmm. And basically what I believe it's a demonstration project, so they're going to be testing different kinds of floating turbines since we don't even have the technology down. But the thing is that the water there is not very deep. It's not at all like the 3,000 feet that they're where the real wind energy area is. But the big problem with this is it's right outside, 3 miles outside of Vandenberg Space Force Base. Mm-hmm. And we know that turbines create a national security risk. They can mask, let's say, an enemy sub. They do scramble radar. And in fact, the military, I believe this was permitted during the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. The military folks at Vandenberg really balked at this idea because it was a risk to them. But unfortunately, Representative Salud Carbajal pushed through a rider on some other bill, basically saying they must do this or they will lose money. So that's the state of it is now. But Vandenberg has now said, well, you can't bring your cables in here. We won't allow the power lines to come through. So now they need to make them come to land a different way, which is through a marine reserve. And by the way, through the new, and these turbines would be right in the newly established Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary.
And they would also probably, I guess, being at Vandenberg, create a national security risk, correct?
That, I believe so.
Blocking the radar and all the other detection stuff. All right. Well, on the other side of the break, I want to unpack who's on board with this and who's not, just so, because we're heading into voting season, and it's really important that y'all should know where our local and state polls are standing on this. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes with Nicole from React Alliance. Stand by.
usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecue tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Nicole Dorfman, co-founder and board member of the REACT Alliance. For those of you just tuning in, this is a grassroots advocacy group that opposes the windmills, wind energy development off the coast. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So let's, last few minutes we have left here, let's start with the two very important supervisor race, District 2 races, District 2 and District 4. Okay, District 2 is D'Antona, who's a Dem, mm-hmm. and Aaron M. Woody is his last name. Michael Aaron Woody. He was on with Eric last week, so I always mix them up. And he's running as an independent. Where do these guys stand?
Well, you know, I just need to preface this with REACT Alliance as a 501c3. We do not endorse or oppose any candidates. We just share information to try to educate the people. So Michael, Aaron, and, you know, District 2 runs all along the coast. So this is the most important district for the offshore wind issue because it would be certainly where a lot of the impacts would occur. Michael Woody has come out very strongly opposed to offshore wind. He said we should not even be going down this direction. We need to protect our coastal communities as if they were Yosemite or the Grand Canyon, he said during an interview. Jim D'Antona has taken the opposite approach. He, when he was the head of the SLO Chamber of Commerce, he wrote an op-ed for the Tribune saying why we must take this opportunity for offshore wind. Mm-hmm. So that's a very clear dividing line between those two candidates.
Okay, so that's really important for the people on the coast to know about. And of course, I mean, there's parts of District 4 that are along the coast. And so you've got Jimmy Paulding, who's the incumbent supervisor, against Adam Verdin. And do you have a sense of where they are on this issue?
You know, my assumption just listening to Jimmy Paulding is that he supports the supervisorial majority wanting this to happen. I did meet with Adam Verdin and to speak about this issue. And what he said is if the people who live in that area oppose it, then I would not want to push that on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's all I know.
So again, folks, if you're out listening to these candidates, you ought to be asking them these questions. Okay, I know where John Pichon stands, and he's going to be on the show again in a couple of weeks, so we'll let him talk about this on his own. Where is Don Ortiz Legg on this matter?
You know, I believe Don Ortiz Legg is an all of the above. I think she has a strong focus on energy, and she really has it in her mind. She wants to secure that we have enough energy. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But she is, I believe, for this and for any type of energy development.
Right. And then Heather?
Heather, we're hopeful, is opposed to it, but I'm not quite sure given her voting history.
Okay, so she really hasn't stated. It'd be a good question the next time I get her on.
Yeah.
Get her on the show and see where she's at on that.
Absolutely.
All right, and we don't care where Bruce Gibson is at this point. So.
Well, we know where Bruce is. Bruce is full steam ahead.
Now, interestingly, you know, I heard you speak briefly asking Steve Hilton a question on Saturday at the Republican Women's event out at the Oyster Ridge, what used the location formerly known as Oyster Ridge. And you made some comments to Steve Hilton. And what was the reaction you got from him?
You know, Steve Hilton, I was very pleased that when he came on, the very first policy he started speaking about was offshore wind in California and how ridiculous it was, how opposed to it he is. So I was very heartened to hear that. And I did have the opportunity to ask a question. I thanked him for that stance. I gave him our material. He said he does want to learn more and speak with us. But I asked him, how is he going to appeal to independents who are not Democrat or Republican? And I think this issue is a very strong issue for any candidate to run on if they're opposed to it. Because I found that just in all the conversations we have, once people learn about it and are educated about it, they do not want it.
Yeah. And what about Sheriff Bianco? Do you have a sense of where he stands? They don't have a lot of coastline in Riverside.
Yeah, so. I don't. And I don't think his website talks about it.
Okay. All right. And of course, the Coastal Commissioner, which is totally no development, is all on board with this, right?
The Coastal Commission has been very favorable to offshore wind, which was really kind of shocking, because their mission is to, you know, preserve the coast, preserve access to the coast, make sure it's clean. You can't have industrial development in coastal zones. Mm-hmm. But somehow they want to take potentially Morro Bay, which is actually a national estuary, and potentially allow massive ships to come in there, and industrial development, noise pollution, light pollution, air pollution, the same in Avila Beach, Port San Luis.
And we know where Salute Carbajal stands on this. What about, who's the guy, the northern part of up? He's our guy. God, I spaced out on his name. He's up in Monterey. God, Congressman. God, I'll think about it in a second.
I don't know.
But he's a Democrat, but, you know, he kind of can vote both ways, actually,
okay,
on some stuff. And I'm sorry I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Yeah.
He's a very famous name, actually, and it's I've spaced it out.
Is it Hart?
Pardon?
Hart?
No, he is. His father used to be. Tell us how people can donate and help you guys.
We sure would appreciate any help through reactalliance.org, and just click on the donate button, and that will help us continue to do our work.
All right. Well, great. Yes, this is a good organization. We'll have Nicole on again to talk about where they're at with their efforts and to stop this mess that they're planning out on the coast. So, folks, world. Stand by. When we return after Paul Harvey in the news, we'll be visiting with Edward Ring, Director of Water and Energy at the California Policy Center. So stand by.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.